You've probably heard the word Kwame 1,375,000 times since we came back home from Ghana. Kwame actually means Saturday, and that's the day that Kwame was born. That's kind of a custom in that country. If you were fortunate enough to be born on Friday, you get to have the name coffee, truthfully, black or with cream and sugar. And as much coffee as he likes to drink, I'm really not convinced that he was born on Kwame. But anyway, we do call him Kwame. I met Joseph Kwame Wumbe 25 years ago in Accra, Ghana. And over the past 25 years, he has become one of my closest and very best friends. And there are few people in this world that I admire anymore because of his vision and his determination against incredible odds and even opposition to see that vision carried through. Every member of our team will tell you that he was an absolutely perfect host during our 10 days in Ghana, did everything conceivable to make us comfortable and happy and successful in the things that we were there to do, because it meant so very much to him for everyone to leave with a good taste in their mouths for Africa, a good taste in their mouths for compassion work, and a good glimpse of the incredible level of need that defines the continent of Africa today. In front of you, there is a copy of our latest Compassion magazine for Africa called Embrace, and it's there because right in the middle section, actually beginning on pages 9 and 10, is an article that Kwame has written, which pretty much defines his philosophy of compassion work through faith-based organizations. That happens to be the street in front of the Lifeline's home, which is the graphic on page 9. I would encourage you to take it with you and read it, and we'll just assure you that you'll know this man's heart better if you will do so. And we are so delighted. He was such a host to us for those 10 days. It's a real honor and joy for Central Assembly to host him tonight as our guest to conclude our spring missions emphasis for this year and to conclude our year of focus on Africa. We started with the Long Africa Day back last summer. We'll close out this emphasis tonight and get ready for the next one. And there's not a better way for us to do that than to bring before you a wonderful layman, man of God, whom I know you'll love as you get to know him, Joseph Kwame Wumbe.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for making it possible for me to be part of this week. I've been coming to Central for some time now, every time I'm in Springfield, but I always hide on the top. This time I couldn't hide anymore. Today I'm going to try to be culturally relevant. I host a number of volunteer teams, about four or five teams a year from Europe, from the Netherlands. And every time they come, I tell them that when you get here, put away your watches, because in Africa we have time. And we invest that time in our relationships. So put away the watches, de-stress, and just relax. But tonight I have been given 20 minutes. And I'm going to make sure that I do it exactly 20 minutes, because I happen, unfortunately, to be staying at the Tucker Hotel. And if I don't do 20 minutes, I'll never hear the end of it. I'd like to start off tonight by reading Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And in Luke, we see Jesus more or less giving his mission statement, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," in Luke 4:18. Several passages also talk about Jesus seeing the crowds and he had compassion. As you have been told, I am a layman. In fact, I am a product of missions. I grew up in the church. Very early in my years, I traveled around with missionaries, did interpretation for them in the local language. So I literally grew up in the church. And of course, most of them encouraged me to go to the Bible college to become a pastor. But I didn't think that was what God was calling me to do, because I did not feel that that was what I should be doing. And so I kept on saying, listen, I do not think that I have received the call to be a pastor. It doesn't matter how much education I get, if I actually receive the call, I will drop everything and go to the Bible college. And I met another missionary who opened my eyes and said, look, God's calling is not a calling for everyone to be a pastor. We have different callings. Some are administrators, some are teachers, you know. So when he opened my eyes, I told him, you know, I have always felt the call of God upon my life. But I wasn't convinced that I was being called to be a pastor. And I think Don and Pastor Jeff would, confirm this, that on the Sunday we went to a church where Pastor Jeff preached. And the pastor, senior pastor, told Don, oh, that's your friend. You need to encourage him to get some credentials. But anyway, I have found where God wants me to be. And for the last 30 years this year, I have been working in this area of ministry. Compassion for the vulnerable in our society. Compassion for those that are hurting. Because the Lord preached a gospel that was integrated. And our gospel and our mission ought to be integrated. I cannot imagine that you would be preaching and ignore the very many needs that are around you. Years ago, when I found that this is where God was leading me, I gave up my job with the government. I used to be a finance officer with the Social Security Department. And I gave it up and came to work within the church. And that was to administer a couple of health institutions that were started by the Assemblies of God mission several years ago. And I think Barbara worked in one of those health institutions. The first one was built in 1948, and the second one in 1950. Since then, we have tried to really enhance the kind of, you know, service that we need to give to those communities. Because in those days, when the missionaries came home on furlough, the people in the area had very little permission to be sick. So over the period, we have tried to set this in such a way that it is indigenous enough and it can go on with or without even me. And one of the first clinic is now almost an 89-bed hospital. But as I went through these years, it was tough. Because in the Assemblies of God setting, it's not like today when everybody is talking about compassion ministry. It was a bit difficult. And you had all kinds of discouragements. But the greatest thing that helped me very much was to know that this is where God wants me to be. And when you know that this is what God wants you to do and where He wants you, you are resolute. One of the projects that the team visited was the Lifeline Project. Because the Lifeline Project came into being probably about 8 years ago. And I learned very early in this ministry from a book that I read by Hudson Taylor. And I got a statement from that book: God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And I have, you know, held that word over those years. It's not my work, but His work. And He will provide the resources for that work. When I started Lifeline, I did not have $1 for it. But I spoke to a lady in Holland about what my vision was. And she said, wow, that's a nice idea. We even support projects in Ethiopia. That is not that clear. So put together a proposal and we'll give you funding. So I came back, and as a professional, I just sat behind my computer and I knocked out a proposal in 1.5 hours. And I sent it and I got a 3-year contract for $60,000. I started Lifeline, and the first year, it was a big failure. Then, after the first year, the lady called me on the phone and said, you have not asked for your second year of funding. I said to her, no, I'm aware of that. I know I have funding with you, but it's a failure. And I don't want you to send me the money again until I have found out why it is a failure. So I did an internal review and found a number of reasons why it was a failure. And I addressed that and went back to it. And since then, we have had 1,165 girls. Some of them trafficked. Some of them, you know, running away because their parents have given them to some old men to marry against their will. You know, we have various categories of girls at the Lifeline Center. And these girls have had the opportunity to go through the program at Lifeline, which we use the 3-R, rescue, rehabilitate, reintegrate. And during the reintegration period, we have the opportunity to give them the word of God. Some of them go out as Christians. Some of them, the word has been planted in them. It's not my business to change them. It is God's business. But we have to give them the opportunity, and that we do at the Lifeline Center. 3 years ago, we had a girl come in. She was 9 when she was brought into Accra. And she was put into prostitution by her own aunt, who told her parents, her sister, that she was bringing her niece so she could go to school in Accra. Well, she herself was a prostitute. And when she brought the 9-year-old girl, introduced her to prostitution, and for 9 years, this little girl was involved in prostitution until somebody directed her to Lifeline. I have 5 daughters. When I heard the girl's story, I was in tears. I couldn't imagine any of my own daughters at 9 being a prostitute. Today, Abigail has gone through the rehabilitation. She has her own small business, no longer a prostitute, and she's a Christian. Amen. You know, God cares about everyone. And we cannot afford not to care about people. I did a class at WAST, and I told the pastors, a church that is not relevant to its community has no reason and has no right to exist in that community. That's a hard statement. But what would Jesus do? We've been involved also in refugee work for the last 20 years. For those of you who know, the Liberian Civil War brought to Ghana over 43,000 refugees. And we've been working with these refugees over these years. There was also a small problem in Togo, which brought over 100,000 refugees across into Ghana. And we were asked by World Food Program and the UNHCR to work with the refugees by giving them food and other supplies on a monthly basis. One of our strongest points was the local church. We went into those communities, although the Assemblies of God at that point in time did not have enough churches in that region. We used any church we could find and ministered to the refugees during that period. At the end of the project, over a 5-year period, we had close to 20 churches that were opened in the area. Because the few Assemblies of God pastors who were there, we had, you know, motorcycles and so on from the UN, and we gave it to them. They should only supervise food distribution 3 days in a month. But for the rest of the month, they had a motorbike, they had fuel from the UN, and they could go and preach. God provides a way for his work. In northern Ghana, there was a conflict, 180,000 displaced. And you know, for those of you who know nonprofits, you know, there's all that struggle. Everybody wants to get a bite of what is there. And the country director of World Food Program got up and said, look, if Assemblies of God is not going to be involved, we don't want to be involved. And we want the Assemblies of God Relief and Development Services to be responsible for the distribution of everything that we provide. And we did that over a 3-year period. And the people in the communities started asking, why you are not starting churches in our communities? Because they saw a difference between what the other organizations did in the past. And so when we are involved in compassion ministries, our work needs to be different from the other organizations. Because what we do as Christians need to be excellent. In that area, the communities were calling for churches. So what we did was to train, because we had no pastors, to train 60 lay workers and to buy each one of them a bicycle. And they went into that area and started 60 churches. Whenever you meet the physical need of anyone, indeed the gospel is real to that person. And we ought not to underestimate the impact compassion ministry has in turning people to the Lord. Over the last 29 years, almost 30 years, and Don says he's almost retiring. Maybe I'll retire before him. But I have seen over and over again the impact compassion ministry has had on the lives of people. I try to run away from the word holistic, and I use integrated. In an integrated manner, compassion ministry has had an impact. That is why I'm so grateful to Central Assembly. Because like Pastor Don said, we purchased this land in 1993. And for all these years, that land has laid there, and we did not have the resources to build the ministry center. I have been asked by the Africa Assemblies of God Alliance to direct Africa AG Care on the continent. So actually, Don is my colleague on this side of the ocean. And we did need a ministry center because where we use now is rented. And you won't believe what it cost us, $2,000 a month. And we were just informed by the landlord that by September this year, he wants $2,500 a month. And that's not like probably, I'm so conversant with what happens in Holland because I went to school there. Because you don't pay your rent 1 year or 2 years in advance. In our country, you pay 1 year or 2 years in advance. So he wants $2,500 a month times 12 months. And this trip that was made by Central Assembly is an answer to several years of prayer. That the Lord has finally provided a way to get us to have a ministry center of our own, to be able to minister to people from that building. Tonight, as I said, I'm going to be very culturally sensitive. But I want to challenge you as I thank you for what you've already done by sending the team to put that tabernacle up. I want to challenge you that as the Lord speaks to you to help us to get that totally done. Yes, we have a roof, we have the structure, but we need to do something around it to make it safe, secure, and to be a place of excellence that we can be able to touch lives that are vulnerable and to impact them for Christ. You are a part of the process. As I said to the team when they were leaving, we need to partner. Partnership is the way to go, because if we stand alone like a standalone computer, it doesn't do very much. But if you network, you are able to accomplish more. God has given each one of us an ability. God has given to each one of us a resource. And when we can pull that resource together, there is synergy and our impact becomes greater for His kingdom. Each one of us have been entrusted with something for the kingdom's purpose. And I challenge you tonight that we are able to do far greater. I think on Sunday morning, Dr. Jones gave an African proverb. If you want to travel, quick, you can travel alone. If you want to travel further or far, you need to travel together. And I think that if we want to impact many more lives, we need to join together. Like the African broom, we say that if you pick one broomstick, you can easily break it. But when you take the whole broom, it's difficult to break it. When we are together and we try to work together, we can accomplish more. May we continue to work together, pray together that the Lord would provide what it's going to take to do His work. God bless you. Thank you.